story is told about how Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. And in his opening address, he said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. And once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their potluck suppers and fellowship evenings, but steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus." "And this is what I want you to do," said the devil. "Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day." "And how shall we do this?" the demons shouted. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, and borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so that they can afford their empty lifestyles." Excuse me. "Keep them from spending time with their children, and as their families fragment soon, their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice trying to talk to them. Entice them to play the radio whenever they drive, and to keep the TV, VCR, CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their home, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays music constantly, and this will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Now, fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, every kind of newsletter and promotional offering, free products, services, and all soap. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazines and TV so that their husbands will believe that outward beauty is what's important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. The wives too tired to love their husbands at night. Give them headaches too. Make them dissatisfied with one another so they begin to look elsewhere, and that will fragment their families quickly. Give them Santa Claus to distract them from teaching their children the real meaning of Christmas, and give them an Easter bunny so they won't talk about his resurrection and his power over sin and death. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead. And when they do go out on the mountains or to the shoreline, get them to do it on their day of worship, and make them so active in what they do there that they don't have time to pray, time to think, time to remember their God or thank them for him for the goodness. Keep them busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, leave them with troubled consciences. Crowd their lives with so many good causes they have no time to seek power from Jesus. And if they must talk to God, make sure they don't take time to listen to Him. And soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the course. Do this, and it will still work very well, Satan concluded. It will work, his demons replied. So the convention ended. The demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to have little time for their God or their families, and having no time to tell others about the power of Jesus to change lives and to meet their real needs. Well, I guess the question is, has the devil been successful at his scheme? I've been waiting a long time in my file to pull the convention of Satan to his demons. But this busyness of Jesus at the end of the gospel reading day prompted me to do it. You be the judge, as the devil really got us too busy. Are some of these things, we chuckle, but are they relevant and is it true? Are you being drained? Are you failing to see what the point of it all is? Are you losing hope? Is joy harder and harder to find? Are you finding it harder and harder to remember the goals and the dreams that God has placed in your heart? Are you feeling besieged from all sides and unable to get it together? At the Congregational Development Institute weekend, when the team came with me and talking with the clergy and the laity who were there from several congregations, the operative word was, I'm drained, it's been a tough week. Just reiterated what I knew I was going to preach on. In today's gospel, we see Jesus on the Sabbath doing many things. He has already, as we heard last week, attended worship at the synagogue. And he's already heard during the worship that he was going to cast an unclean spirit out of man and brought him healing. And then he went up with his disciples to Peter and Andrew's home, and there he brought healing to Peter's mother-in-law. And later in the evening, a huge crowd gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many of the sick, many of the possessed. It was a full day, a very full and a very busy day. He travels through Galilee, preaching and healing and driving out demons. And always, we find as we read the gospel accounts, we see Jesus drawing aside from the crowds that God gathered to hear him and to be healed by him, to go and to pray. Goes away. Always we find Jesus leaving his disciples for a time and going to a quiet place by himself for a talk with God. And then we find out that he will go again in other times just to keep developing his relationship and not losing it, and maintaining his relationship with God for a time of strengthening, a time of remembering, a time of being reattached to the Father. How about us, I wonder? Do we remember why we are here in the first place? Do we recall the simplicity of what God wants of us? Do we recall the glory of what God has promised us? Do we recall how God has helped us in the past? Remember what God has done, who God is, what God's purpose is. Now, he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Why did Jesus go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, week in and week out? Why did he worship at the temple with God's people as well as keep the law of God? Why did he continually turn aside during his busy days of doing God's work of preaching and go to a quiet place and pray? Why did he withdraw from his disciples and from the crowds to go up on the mountainsides or into garden groves to wait upon God? Might I suggest to you that he did this because that is what helped him keep on track. Might I suggest to you that he did this because that is what gave him strength? Might I suggest to you that he did this because without doing it, he could not have done all he did? God has a purpose for us, and I keep saying it every Sunday in different phrases, not those exact words, but he does. I say it to remind ourselves that he has a purpose for you and for me. And God will redeem us. And God will raise us up. So when we hope in that, when we feed ourselves with God's word, when we allow God to speak to us instead just talking at him all the time, when we take time aside, when we take time to be holy, God moves us to do what we cannot do on our own. God moves us to give us the strength and the peace that lasts. What a message. What a reassurance we have a week and a half